And handle the truth.
America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We would like to greet our new affiliate, WMQM AM 1600 of Memphis, Tennessee. That's a 50,000-watt station in Memphis that's going to be bringing Mark Dankos America and the Republic Broadcasting Network to a much wider conventional radio audience in the American South. We're joined today by Michael W. Cutler. He is discussing the guest worker amnesty program as the worst possible thing for America, quoting Michael here in his article for News with Views. He graduated from Brooklyn College of the City University of New York in 1971 with a BA in Communications Arts and Sciences. He began working for INS in October of 1971 and became an immigration inspector assigned to JFK International Airport, and in August of 1975 became a criminal investigator or special agent for the INS in New York City. He rotated through virtually every squad on the investigations branch. From 1988 until 91, he was assigned as the INS representative to the Unified Intelligence Division of the DEA in New York. 1991, he was promoted to the position of senior special agent and was assigned to the Organized Crime Drug Enforcement Task Force, which required that he work with members of other law enforcement agencies, including the FBI, the DEA, the ATF, U.S. Customs, and state and local police, as well as law enforcement organizations of other countries, including Israel, Canada, Great Britain, and Japan, in conducting investigations of aliens involved in major drug trafficking organizations. He retired from the INS in February of 2002 after a career that spanned some 30 years. Michael Cutler has been on numerous television and radio programs, including Lou Dobbs, Fox News, MSNBC, and many other television and radio news-oriented programs discussing the enforcement of immigration laws. Michael, again, getting back to this visa waiver thing, go ahead.
Well, so now understand that when I've had meetings with my friends on Capitol Hill, and I'm happy that I have access to people from both sides of the aisle, they don't disagree with me that the visa waiver program is dangerous. But they've told me that corporations, especially in the travel and hospitality industries, don't like the idea of a visa requirement. They're afraid it would keep people from traveling and spending money. This all comes back to money. And I said, well, you know, this is lunacy, because I think if they launched a public relations campaign and explained to people, look, we live in a dangerous world. We need to know who's traveling. We want to ensure your safety. Yes, there's a bit of an inconvenience, certainly, when you have to apply for a visa, but it's no different from a driver's license. You know, we issue visas that can be good for up to 10 years, where the person who has such a visa has a 10-year period in which to come to the United States. They can't stay for 10 years, but they could, you know, if they do frequent traveling, it doesn't mean that they have to go to an embassy every time they want to come here. And every 10 years, they know they're going to spend a day or two getting a new visa, and that's fine. You know, look, when we travel right now, it used to be you could get to the airport 15 minutes before flight time, jump on the airplane and go. Now we have to get to the airport 2 to 2.5 hours before flight time. So we understand that the world has changed. But the greed of corporations is so blind, it's incredible. I was at a breakfast at the Manhattan Institute of Manhattan, which is a Manhattan-based think tank, and one of the gentlemen who was there was the British Consul General, and he was furious. We got into this discussion about the visa waiver program, and finally he looked me in the eye and he says, do you know what a bloody inconvenience the visa requirement is, Mr. Cutler? And I looked at him and I said, yes, I understand that, but I could think of a bigger inconvenience. He said, what's that? I said, when terrorists hijack airliners and fly them at high speed into tall office buildings. Well, everybody at the table started laughing. He actually got up and left. But I think that it's important not to mince words. These issues are so incredibly important. In 1993, when the towers were first attacked, one of those towers almost came down sideways. You know, these people have absolutely zero respect for life. That is to say, the terrorists. We need to be up for this battle.
We'll be back with a couple of callers. This is Mark Dankos America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned for Michael Cutler. We'll be back.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Hi, Michelle. I haven't seen you on the bus for a while. Did they change your shift?
No, Lori. I finally quit my job. I'm working at home now, and I love it. No more commuting. And I'm home when the kids get out of school.
Working at home? Doing what?
It's a long story. It all started when I discovered the website EarnMoneyAtHome123.com.
Oh, Michelle, you didn't fall for one of those internet deals, did you?
Well, I looked into several, and this one is for real.
Are you sure?
I didn't quit my job until I was sure, and now I'm making way more money working at home.
Really?
I've joined the Success Team and their major advertising co-op. Our business is fully automated, which gives me more money and the time to enjoy it. I'll be earning money while we're skiing this winter.
What was that website again?
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Here, write it down.
Good idea. EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Maybe we can go skiing this winter, too.
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com is a global opportunity.
The Idaho Observer is one of the last independent American presses and isn't afraid to print the truth. The Idaho Observer is a monthly 24-page hard copy newspaper in its fifth year of addressing important issues affecting all freedom-loving Americans. If you are concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you, then subscribe to the Idaho Observer. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues. Idaho Observer readers receive vital insight into events as they unfold. Our articles editorially emphasize activism and serve as a networking tool for like-minded individuals determined to make a difference. The Idaho Observer, printing what you need to be fully informed on issues that matter to real Americans. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307. That's 208-255-2307.
Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined today by Michael Cutler discussing guest worker amnesty programs, as he terms it in his article for News with Views, that it is the worst possible thing for America. We have a couple of callers for Michael. We have Mike in Maryland. Go ahead, sir.
Good morning, Mike.
Yes, thank you very much for taking my call, and I really enjoyed my talk with you yesterday. I hope you got my email about Lewis Wolf becoming a guest. I sent it to you yesterday.
Yes, sir, I received that.
Oh, okay,
great. Thank you
great.
Very much, and I'll follow up on it. Thank you
okay.
very much, Mike.
I think you'll make an interesting guest. And I got in late on your conversation with your guest here, and I agree with the stance on illegal immigration, and I think, you know, we need to be careful about the immigration policies. But I just want to ask your guest, concerning 9/11, is your guest familiar with Luis Rodriguez?
I'm not certain. What are you referring to?
9/11, the hero of 9/11, the janitor who saved dozens of lives. Are you familiar with him?
Yes, I've heard about him.
You heard about him. Isn't it curious how he was left out of the so-called 9/11 investigation? Are you familiar with this testimony?
To be honest, I'm not familiar with.
Okay, well, let me enlighten you.
Good.
Before the planes even hit the building, there was a huge explosions in the sub-basements of the Twin Towers. Now, that didn't come from the airplanes. Okay, so 9/11 was an inside job, sir. And you can go on this misinformation campaign all you want to. But most people aren't fooled.
Well,
I spell Al-Qaeda, A-L-C-I-A-D-A. And the owner, Silverstein, in a PBS documentary, said that they brought Building 7 down by controlled demolition. The owner said they pulled it. That's parlance for a controlled demolition.
Look, all I'm going to say, okay, my focus today is on the problem that we're having with the immigration system.
Yeah, but you're also missing 9/11.
I've listened to you. All I'm telling you is that the people I've spoken with, people who were eyewitnesses at the scene, believe that it was the airplanes. I'm not going to have a debate about whether or not that's accurate.
Well, you need to get educated instead of spreading misinformation.
Okay.
Check out Alex Jones at Infowars.com. There's all kinds of evidence, and you may be doing some good things about immigration, and I appreciate that. But you really need to get educated and realize what really happened on 9/11, because it was an inside job. The evidence is incontrovertible. If jet diesel fuel melted the structure, then people that then welders would be able to use kerosene torches to cut steel.
If you look at an article that appeared in was either Popular Mechanics or Popular Science.
Strictly disinformation.
Okay. Well, we could have this debate. We can go around in circles. I don't think it's really productive, to be very honest with you.
Well, I'm trying to educate you, sir. I'm trying to make you aware of what really happened.
Okay.
Mike, why don't we simply say at this point, as I try to get this back on track in terms of illegal immigration, that just to underscore that this is a very significant debate, I'll simply quote Paul Craig Roberts' side of this. Of course, he was an assistant secretary of the Treasury under Ronald Reagan, formerly the Wall Street Journal. He says that Professor David Ray Griffin is the nemesis of the official 9/11 conspiracy theory. In his latest book, Debunking 9/11, Griffin destroys the credibility of the National Institute of Standards and Technology and Popular Mechanics reports, annihilates his critics, and proves himself to be a better scientist and engineer than the defenders of the official story. Why don't we simply leave this debate there at that particular point?
That sounds fine.
Can I just mention one thing?
Sure.
Kevin Ryan, the head of the Underwriters Laboratory, even if you buy an electrical appliance, you have that little UL on there, he's a PhD, Kevin Ryan. He came out days after 9/11. This guy is no slouch. And he said that the planes could not have brought the buildings down. And he was promptly fired days afterwards. So there are all kinds of people that are muzzled and silenced by the powers that be that don't want the truth about 9/11 to come out. So check out Loose Change, sir.
I've seen Loose Change.
Okay, so that proves to me that you're a misinformation candidate.
I don't know how that proves. I'm not afraid to look at what people have to say on either side of an argument. If you're, let's clear something up. If you're so concerned about an issue and you're afraid to look at what people say who may not agree with your perspective,
I'm not afraid of anything.
No, you're saying that it proves that I'm doing that. What I'm saying to you is when I look at an item, when I look at an issue, I look at all sides of it, not just my own perspective. Whether it's immigration, you name the argument, I want to see all sides of that argument so that I understand the issue as best I can. And I think that's important for all Americans to do.
Well, you're either sadly mistaken or I just don't know what the problem is, because the FBI was involved in the first Twin Tower truck bomb explosion. The blind sheikh and his cohorts were patsies of the FBI. You know, I mean, this is a common thing, false flag terror. Check out Wester Tarpley's book. You know, this goes on and on and on. You know, the world intelligence communities are probably for FBI, CIA, Mossad, they're probably responsible for 90% of the terrorism that's committed in this world. And they do it for the international banksters and the people that hold the reins of power and finance.
Thanks, Mike. Let's leave it there for today. But
okay,
thank you. You still there, Mike?
Okay, I'm with you.
Had a brief electronic glitch there. Kind of getting back again to the illegal immigration side of this thing, Mike. You were citing earlier the statistics that in these meatpacking plants, I think in Nebraska,
right,
that you've had a decline in wages there from $19 an hour for this very, very difficult, dangerous work. As a matter of fact, I had a couple of uncles no longer living who worked at the Armour meatpacking plant at Omaha for many, many years.
Right.
Presumably that's one of the plants involved. We're now talking about $9 an hour.
Amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's talking there again, you've got a $10 decrease in hourly wages for this type of work.
Cut is more than 50%.
Yes. Is that a microcosm of the
Well, you're seeing it also with the day laborers. My dad was a construction worker. He was a plumber. And I grew up on construction sites as a kid. It was a great way to grow up. And I have to tell you that if there was ever a bunch of men that embodied the can-do spirit of America, it's the construction workers. You know, they'll dig a hole in the ground, you come back 6 months later, and there's a magnificent building standing there. So when you realize how talented and how dedicated these folks are, and then you realize that there are some companies that bring in day laborers who don't have the skill levels, not even close, but who work for much less and can wind up displacing tradesmen. It's an outrage because the consumer is getting hammered by substandard work, and then people lose their jobs, and these are people that maybe the trade was passed from father to son for several generations. So what we're really doing is witnessing a situation where neither party is standing up for the average working American. The Democratic Party, and I'm a registered Democrat, my parents were, I guess I acquired it through them, used to be seen as the party that represented the union worker. And they've certainly turned their back on the union worker, and the unions themselves in some cases are now embracing illegal aliens because they want to inflate their numbers and get more union dues. What we're witnessing is really the selling of America, and it disturbs me on so many levels, I don't even know what to say to you.
Yes, and as you look at this whole thing, presumably this whole issue of illegal immigration, I'm not an economist, but just as I look at these numbers, it would mean something to me as a layperson. Presumably we're seeing a transformation where the manufacturing sector of the American economy is being destroyed through the exportation of many manufacturing jobs abroad, and then it seems to me that in terms of the domestic economic situation in regard to jobs still resident in the United States, that we're talking about a wage downturn, a wage plummeting, that in large measure could be attributable to illegal immigration. Is that a fair statement?
Not only illegal immigration. You know, it was interesting that Gates from Microsoft appeared before the Senate a couple of months ago saying that he wanted an unlimited number of H-1B visas to be issued to people in the high-tech industries. Think how crazy that is. People go to college. My first wife died 20 years ago of breast cancer. She was in her early 30s, but she was a systems programmer, and she was working at the stock exchange. Think of people that have master's degrees, that have spent lots of years developing their skill levels, keeping up with the technology and so forth, and now we have people coming into the United States under the aegis of the H-1B visa program who are working for much less wages. And then the folks that had been doing well for themselves are now in the unfortunate situation of wondering if they want to continue on in their own chosen fields because they're being undercut by workers from India and other countries who are willing to accept far lower wages. And if you look at the impact of all of this stuff where immigration is concerned, you realize how pervasive it is through the government. Abscam was an investigation that started out as a fencing investigation, the movement of stolen property, and somehow or other twists and turns took it to the point where it became an investigation of corrupt members of Congress who thought they could buy what they want from a corrupt immigration employee to help out a fictitious Arab sheikh who was played by an FBI agent. So you had seasoned members of Congress believing that they could get what they wanted from the old INS with the payment of money to the right person. That was Abscam. Then you look at the Abramov scandal. Well, Abramov got his start working for Bill Gates, lobbying for the H-1B visa program to be expanded. It seems as though every time you pick up a rock, you don't have to dig too deeply before you come up with an immigration issue. This thing permeates so many aspects of our country today. It's truly disturbing.
Corporate money, corporate profits, corporate ownership of the American political process, the destruction of the body republic. We'll be back with Michael Cutler. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on RBN. Stay tuned.
Catholic priest calls on Catholics and Christians to resist an unjust attack against Iran. Father John Martinez, a Catholic priest, speaks out to declare the Catholic Church's true teaching, that it would be a mortal sin for Catholic soldiers to attack Iran. In a one-hour lecture, Father John Martinez warns about the Zionist plot to rule the world and to use the United States to ignite the flames of World War III by its satanic plan to unjustly attack Iran. He exposes that George Bush is a Zionist and how Congress is controlled by the Zionists. Father John Martinez gravely warns of nuclear weapons being used by the United States and the threat of the possible end of the world. For additional information on how you can help stop World War III, order Father John Martinez's CD entitled An Unjust Attack on Iran, available for $10 by Father John Martinez. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for the address.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow, I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017, or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. Put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com or call 312-224-2710, 312-224-2710.
This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We are joined today by Michael W. Cutler, discussing guest worker amnesty programs, which, as he terms it in his article for News with Views on April 14th, is the worst possible thing for America. Michael Cutler graduated from Brooklyn College of the City University of New York in 1971 with a BA in Communications Arts and Sciences. Began working for the INS in October of 1971, became a criminal investigator for the INS in New York City, and subsequently was assigned as the INS representative to the Unified Intelligence Division of the DEA in New York, and among many other things has appeared on numerous TV and radio programs discussing the issue of immigration laws and their enforcement. Those include Lou Dobbs, Fox News, MSNBC, and programs of that ilk and orientation. Michael, before the break, we were talking about a series of things related to this vexing issue of illegal immigration. Right. One of the things that I pick up on is something that Frosty Wooldridge has talked about in a piece that he did for the American Free Press on April 9th. He was noting that in 1965, Ted Kennedy authored the Stealth Immigration Reform Act that changed 50 years of a steady influx of immigrants from 175,000 annually to a gargantuan 1.1 million people per year, along with illegal immigration, the United States grew by 106 million people in 41 years. Now, are we to see that 1965 Immigration Reform Act as the real watershed change in this American policy, perhaps facilitated as well by this so-called amnesty in 1986 during the Reagan administration? Has this now brought us to the third and final stage of this, which is the struggle you're involved with?
Well, I think we've been watching this thing evolving over time. And, you know, you look at so many of these pieces of legislation, and it really leaves you scratching your head wondering what the agenda is behind so many of these folks that have gotten involved in the issue. Certainly, we've got a real serious problem. And, you know, the last time that we really had a president who seemed to want to enforce the immigration laws, you'd have to go back to President Eisenhower. When he was told that there were a significant number of illegal Mexicans in the United States, he says, well, if they're here illegally, get rid of them. And now we're at a point where I don't know that we could round up 20 million illegal aliens, but I think the solution isn't to try to round up 20 million people. I think it would, you know, really do a heck of a job on our country. We would wind up spending an awful lot of money. I think it would be a tough job to pull off, and I worry about how we would carry that out. I think what makes more sense is to not allow people who are illegally in the country to get driver's licenses, own property, get jobs, and we also, in conjunction with that, have to go after immigration benefit fraud. You know, I when I did my first congressional hearing back in 1997, I said that immigration was a system, and if you squeeze the system or a balloon at one end, it's going to bulge at the other. If you could make the border completely impassable, then the immigration system also needs to have more integrity, because if you can give people green cards, residency, who should not be getting it, then what you've done is given them the keys to the kingdom. It's kind of like saying we're going to put up gates around the house and strong locks on the door, and then you hang the key right outside the door. That's not going to accomplish anything. So we have to make certain that the immigration system has real integrity. Jim Sensenbrenner, who had been the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee in the last session of Congress, of course, since then the Democrats have gained control of the House and the Senate. But Jim Sensenbrenner ordered a study be done, and you can go online, folks. It was released by the GAO March of last year, and it was a GAO report on immigration benefit fraud. And they went into quite a bit of detail as to how there was no integrity to the various programs under which aliens are able to get resident alien status, including marriage fraud and that sort of thing. Many years ago, when I was assigned to the unit that investigated marriage fraud, and for 1 year I was also acting as an examiner doing the interviews, if somebody apparently was engaged in a marriage fraud, the next thing that would happen is a team of special agents would go out and look for that alien whose application for residency was denied because of fraud. We would arrest him and seek his removal from the United States. So what it meant was if you filed a fraudulent application, not only might you not get what you were looking for, but there was a good chance that you'd wind up with agents on your tail looking to arrest you. That helped to keep people from creating a fraud situation. It doesn't mean that other people didn't do it. Some people commit crimes no matter what, but it was a deterrent. Today, the likelihood that anybody will deny an application based on fraud is small, and there's virtually no real risk that anyone is going to come looking for you because the agency is so overwhelmed with so many tasks and so few people. So we encourage more fraud. This goes back to what I was saying about how things are being done at USCIS. The fraud causes that agency to run more quickly, kind of like Lucille Ball's conveyor belt with the bonbons she was trying to wrap. So the system moves more quickly. There's less attention being paid to the quality of the way they're doing the job, which means more people get away with committing fraud, which encourages still more fraudulent applications. It becomes a vicious spiral. The way to break the spiral isn't to run the conveyor belt faster, but it's to penalize people who do commit fraud, look for them, even if it's a small number, publicize the fact that we're going after them, and then seek their removal, if not their prosecution, for having tried to defraud the United States.
We'll be back with Michael Cutler. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. The J. Michael Stevens Group is shipping a lot of storable food. It's smart that you're getting going at your food supplies. 1 week after the report came out that the world had eaten more food than it produced last year, the country turned into a deep freeze, wiping out a huge part of the new crop. An example? In 24 hours, clementine oranges doubled in price. If you intend to start or finish your supply, call immediately. When you call, tell them how many adults and how many years of food you need. When there are shortages, missing items will be substituted, maintaining the quantity of food necessary. Money is not the problem. Availability is. Be careful. When food supplies get short, with no future, many retailers ship real trash to supply you. For safe food you can trust, call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
Americans already realize our nation is in deep trouble, need special edition hard copy literature to awaken the widest possible spectrum of people to the imminence of our nation's peril. The Artificially Sweetened Times informs people that the artificial sweetener aspartame is a hidden addiction killing people worldwide with a cluster of symptoms we now call Rumsfeld's disease. Find out who is responsible for unleashing this weapon of mass misery on the world and become part of the global movement to eliminate this neurotoxic drug from our food supply. The People's Income Tax Guide cites congressional records, Supreme Court decisions, and newspaper articles at the time to prove conclusively that wages were never intended to be taxed as income. A lot has happened in the world since 9/11. The report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 disproves the government's explanation of September 11th through a careful analysis of the evidence. The Artificially Sweetened Times, the People's Income Tax Report, and the report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 are priced for mass distribution. Sample copies are just $3. Call 208-255-2307 or go to idaho-observer.com.
San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We've been talking with Michael Cutler about guest worker amnesty programs, as he terms it the worst possible thing for America. You can find Michael's article on this at newswithviews.com/Cutler/Michael.htm. That's newswithviews.com/Cutler/Michael.htm. I'll try to get this posted with Breaking All the Rules news so that people can access it with great ease. And when we get this show archived at the Republic Broadcasting Network Archive, we'll also have a URL that the same URL I just read posted with a guest description so people after the fact can read this and contemplate its ultimate meaning. Michael, we've been talking about all kinds of things here in the last hour or two.
Sure have.
One of the things that comes up here is what you have termed the selling of America. You know, the average American that even follows this stuff at all looks at the amount of corporate money that is involved in the presidential sweepstakes, looks at the amount of corporate money involved in U.S. Senate and congressional seats and all the way down the ballot line, And it's a process that I think has made a lot of people extremely cynical. And as you look at this level of cynicism, I find myself going back to something that Frosty Wooldridge talks about in this April 9th piece for the American Free Press. He says that the Senate in May of 2006 passed Comprehensive Immigration Reform, S-2611, that doubled current immigration levels from 1 million to 2 million annually. It increased work visas by tens of thousands. It continued allowance for millions in chain migration. It allowed millions more in anchor babies. The Senate bill did nothing to stop illegal immigration, estimated by some to be as high as 3 million people crossing into America illegally every year. It did not stop the 50,000 annual diversity visas that allow that many people to come to America from the poorest countries in the world. It added more visas that allow more foreigners to gain jobs and produce anchor babies in America that assure they never return to their home countries. Have we reached a point, Michael, in your view, where the nature of the political system in regard to corporate money and some of the kinds of things that have been produced by that system, including this S-2611 that Frosty Wooldridge cites here, has brought us to a place where there's really no obvious, legitimate, peaceful, constructive within the system fix for this?
No, I think we could fix the system. It's a matter of whether or not we will have politicians willing to do it. The bottom line is that this can be fixed, but the question is, are there enough politicians who are willing to fix it? I started to mention that I had bumped into Dana Rohrabacher yesterday. He's a congressman from California. I had testified for him about the visa waiver program. Certainly he understands these issues. It's funny, I'm a registered Democrat, but most of the folks that I work with on these issues are Republicans, although I have worked with Sheila Jackson Lee from Houston, and she had been the ranking Democrat on the Immigration Subcommittee before the control of Congress shifted to the Democratic Party. And I convinced her of the need to go after immigration benefit fraud, and she came up with legislation to try to create a fraud task force, which pleased me. But most of the Democrats seem to be going in exactly the wrong direction on this issue. That's not to say that all the Republicans are doing the right thing either. But there are some Republicans who I'm very proud of, people like Steve King from Iowa, certainly Jim Sensenbrenner from, I believe he's from Wisconsin, and others. Lamar Smith, who's from Texas, has been doing the right thing. But this is really an uphill battle. We really need to have American people speak out. When hundreds of thousands of illegal aliens could take the street corners around the United States chanting, "Yes, I can," I want to know why Americans are sitting this dance out. Democracy is absolutely not a spectator sport. Americans need to be heard. Americans need to reach out to their congressmen. You know, I go places and I chat with people, and people will tell me about some sporting event, some baseball game or a basketball game, and I happen to like baseball, which is a good thing. New York has two great teams, the Mets and the Yankees, and I love baseball. I grew up on it. But, you know, to have people know with exquisite detail who made what catch in which inning or, you know, hit which home run in which game is wonderful, but these very same people who pay so much attention to sports, many of them don't even know who their elected congressman is. Americans need to really wake up and need to become involved in the process. When 40% of Americans vote in elections and 60% don't vote, the message to Congress is clear. The average American is not paying attention. The average American needs to pay attention because nothing less than the future of our country and the future of their children and ultimately their grandchildren is on the line. And, you know, ignorance is not bliss. And being unwilling to become involved, thinking that it requires too much effort or it's too hard or too confusing, folks, these are very significant issues. I don't think there's another issue that has more implications for the United States than immigration. It impacts everything from the environment to health care, the economy to criminal justice and national security and the educational system. So much is on the line here. Americans really need to become much more involved with this whole political process. And then I think we can bring pressure to bear because for most members of Congress, virtually all of them, the name of the game is getting reelected. And that means they want the campaign contributions. They also want the votes. And if Americans reached out to their congressmen and made it clear that they would support those candidates who do the right thing and were looking to remove those who did the wrong thing, it's time that perhaps we put the fear of the electorate into people who purport to represent us.
Do you think, Michael, as we talk this thing through, you've indicated on the air that you're a registered Democrat.
Yep.
I was a Buchanan Republican who is now really, for all intents and purposes, an independent voter in regard to party affiliation. But in regard to the Republican and Democratic parties, do you think at some point there will be across the spectrum on both sides of the aisle in the Congress a group of people who come together on this? You cited, for example, Steve King, this Republican from Iowa, Lamar Smith here in Texas, Sensenbrenner up in Wisconsin. Do you think in conjunction with people like Lee in Houston that there will be a group of Republicans and Democrats in the Congress who will come together on this thing and say, hey, we're going to put together, as it were, at least on an informal basis, a caucus of people who crossing the party lines and crossing the political spectrum have come to recognize that this is, in Wooldridge's words, a human tsunami that we've got to take care of or this country is going to be destroyed. Do you think that that's going to happen?
I hope it does. I think it can, but this will be up more to the electorate than the politicians, because they will respond to what the people in their home districts are telling them. And look, the world situation is such, you know, we can debate, and I don't want to get into this debate, what's causing global warming. I certainly think that what people do contributes to it, but again, we know that the planet Earth has gone through cycles of ice ages and global warming and cooling again and so forth. I think we do have a significant impact at this point, though. But for whatever reason, we do know that there is global warming. I don't think there's too much doubt about that at this point. And as water levels rise, we're going to find more people being displaced along low-lying areas of third world countries. The CIA did a report a while back. I think it was a prediction of where the world would be in the year 2020. The point is that large numbers of people are on the move. And if we are unable to gain control over our borders, we're in deep trouble. And we don't have control over our borders today. We don't have control over our immigration system. And that's not a good situation. It's really important that we start to lay the groundwork to have an immigration system that has integrity, borders that are secure, and we need to take that as the starting point. But I think that all of this is doable if the American people are heard. Because right now, the loudest voices generally belong to the people with the deepest pockets. But they are not the majority of Americans. The problem is that the majority of the Americans are not involved. Could you imagine how the political process would be different if 80% or 85% of Americans voted? Then the politicians would understand that they really better be accountable to their constituents or they'd lose their position in Congress. Right now, when 40% vote and 60% stay home, and people come to these members of Congress or these people running for the Senate or especially the presidential election, they're saying that this year probably more than $1 billion, I mean, it blows my mind, $1 billion will be spent by all the candidates running for the presidency, then the people that have the deep pockets or claim to control large voting blocks of people, the special interest groups, will get disproportionate representative by this government. The way we end that, folks, is for every single American to go out and vote. I tell people that every soldier who's fought in every war since the American Revolution has fought not only so that we can vote, but that so we can confront our elected representatives and let them know what we think. I've taken my kids with me when I've testified before congressional hearings, and I tell them, look, this is really an important issue. I'm not particularly religious, but I'm absolutely devout where my practice of democracy is concerned. The fact of the matter is that I can go to Washington, I can appear before Congress, I can criticize the administration without fear that somehow the secret police or whatever will round up my family, burn my house, and put a bullet in my head, which happens in many countries around the world. The fact that I can do that without fear in this country is something we should be all cherishing, but we also need to make sure we practice it because things can change. Americans need to be heard, need to be involved in the process, need to have respect for their own rights and their own roles as citizens in the United States.
Well, let's take an issue, Michael, that I think a lot of people can relate to and connect to, and that's the issue of crime. I'm looking at something from the Los Angeles Times here. that Frosty Wooldridge reproduced in the American Free Press. And here are a few statistics on this illegal immigration situation in terms of crime, again with the LA Times as the source. 95% of warrants for murder in Los Angeles are for illegal aliens. 75% of the people on the most wanted list in Los Angeles are illegal aliens. Let's see here, just in terms of the crime issues. Here's another one. Half of all gang members in L.A. are most likely illegal aliens from south of the border, according to the FBI. Going down, 29% of inmates in federal prisons are illegal aliens. These are just a few of the facts on crime, as the L.A. Times cites it here, to this issue. Is the situation there? Do you think that that might be the watershed circumstance that finally causes a greater groundswell of support among the American public for pressuring their politicians to do something about this?
Well, I think what we're seeing, look, I just testified recently in Scranton, Pennsylvania, over the case in Hazleton, Pennsylvania. You know, the mayor of Hazleton, Lou Barletta, got disgusted with what he saw in the town that he grew up in as a kid, when suddenly an influx of gang members and drug dealers were causing, you know, shootings and crime and so forth that they had never dealt with in his small town. I was delighted to, I was actually the last witness on his behalf when the ACLU took him to task over the issue of enforcing local or creating local ordinances to go after illegal aliens in his community. The bottom line is that the federal government has failed abysmally to secure the borders and create an immigration system that possesses even a modicum of integrity. And while we do have cities that have sanctuary policies like New York, and I oppose those policies, and in fact in February of 2003, I testified before the Immigration Subcommittee over in Congress about sanctuary cities, which I think is insanity. But I think that local communities are starting to understand the kind of major impact that aliens involved in criminal activities are having on their communities. You talked about gangs. It was remarkable because a year ago this past March, I spoke before the International Association of Chiefs of Police up in Boston, and one of the other speakers was a young lady who was a special assistant to the president. And she had bragged about a statistic that I had heard the president talk about a couple of weeks previously. And the statistic was the fact that under Operation Community Shield, another one of these tough military-sounding field operations, ICE had arrested something like 2,300 violent gang members over the course of a year. And this young lady was crowing about it. And I said, how can you brag about less than a 1% success rate? There are hundreds of thousands of violent gang members in the United States who are, in fact, deportable aliens. You know, the resources aren't there, and people are becoming victimized by crime. And the bottom line is whether people are killed by terrorists or criminals or a drunk driver who had no business being in the United States in the first place and was driving without a license, dead is dead. Whether a person is killed because two rival drug gangs have a shootout and the bullets are flying, or because somebody was in a building, they get struck by an airplane. No matter how people die, if they are dying because of people who should not have been here in the first place, then clearly we understand that our first line of defense needs to be the immigration system. The immigration system has been failing us abysmally. When I spoke at a conference in Wisconsin that I alluded to earlier, one of the things I said to try to get the attention of the people who were in attendance, well, I said two things to start out. I said, first of all, everybody that you know, unless they're homeless, has done the job of an immigration inspector. Because if you have a house with a peephole and a doorbell, whether it's an apartment or a house or whatever, and if you look through that peephole when someone rings your doorbell to decide on whether or not to let you in, then you've done the job of an immigration inspector, because that's what our inspectors are supposed to do. They're supposed to scrutinize people seeking entry into the United States and making certain that they don't let people in who are a problem. The other component to this problem is that what we really also need to do is to understand the responsibility that the government has and has failed to meet. And I said, look, let's look at it this way. Imagine if police in your local community came to you and said, we've got a problem, there are violent gang members that are breaking into houses in the dead of night, they're raping the women, killing the men, and stealing their belongings. Do you think that any reasonable family would have to debate whether or not to lock their doors and windows at night before they went to sleep? And of course, everyone shook their head no. I said, well, if you think that that's a given, then explain to me why the United States Congress is having just that very debate right now. Does this really need a discussion? If we're being told that we've got a problem with crime, and we do, and we're told we have a problem with terrorism, and I believe we do, then why aren't we taking the common sense measures to protect ourselves?
secure the border, create an immigration system that goes after the fraud, that has real integrity, that enables us to know who's in the United States. They just spent over $1 billion on a program called U.S. Visit that was supposed to track the coming and going of aliens into the United States so we'd know who's here. They have finally said, you know what, we can't figure out how to track people leaving. It'll take years to do this. Meanwhile, when you send a package by one of the freight forwarders, whether it's UPS or DHL or FedEx, we know in exquisite detail if the truck is at a red light almost that's carrying your package. So if we can do that with packages, why can't we track people moving across our borders? This is a recommendation that was made by the 9/11 Commission. So these are all issues that need to be done. They are doable, but it's up to the electorate to pressure the politicians to make sure that the job does get done.
We'll be back with Michael Cutler. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow, I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017, or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today has been Michael W. Cutler, who, among other things, is an expert in this whole area of illegal immigration. His post on the guest amnesty worker program can be found in the April 14th edition of newswithviews.com. Michael, listening to your conversation in the last 2 hours, I'm reminded of something pertaining to the Iraq war that might apply to this immigration situation as well. I heard Pat Buchanan say, or I read an article that he wrote indicating that it used to be or has been established American military doctrine in recent years that you have to have 10 troops for every insurgent if you're fighting a war of counterinsurgency. Now, in terms of the number of illegal aliens who are already in this country, as well as the ongoing problem that we have with this situation, both legal and illegal, how many people do you think it will take in terms of the INS and related agencies to properly address this situation and to seal our border and to ensure that we have an accurate system going on in terms of monitoring people coming in and out of this country? How many people do you think it would take? How much money would be involved?
Well, I can't tell you overall the costs or whatever, but I will tell you that in the long run, I think we would save money. You know, last year, $45 billion was wired to Latin America and the Caribbean. Most of that money, I believe, was wired by illegal aliens. So it's costing us a lot of money. People are losing jobs. People are becoming underemployed, if not unemployed, which, of course, has a deleterious effect on the economy as well. So I think that we would offset lots of the expenditures by gains that we would make in terms of how much money is not going to be lost to the economy, how many jobs will not be lost by resident aliens and U.S. citizens who should be working. You know, I think it's interesting. I would love to see a president of the United States stand up and say freedom isn't free, and it's not only the sacrifices made by our soldiers, not only the sacrifices made by police officers, federal agents, firefighters, those Americans who go in harm's way. It also means if you have a company, hire people who are legally in the United States, whether they're citizens or resident aliens. Hire those people, pay them a reasonable wage so they can share the American dream. You may make a little bit less profit, but then that's the price that you're paying for America's freedom. And I would agree with that. But I think that if all the agencies work together, the Social Security Administration, law enforcement agencies on all levels, including local police, if they worked in conjunction with immigration to offer deterrence against those people who would come here in violation of law, I think that we could become very effective at reducing the incentives for people to run the borders. Every time the president says guest worker program, according to T.J. Bonner, the president of the Border Patrol Union, the number of aliens who run the border increases because they're emboldened and encouraged that if they can get across the border, they could then participate in this program that they hope will be created, and I fear might be created and hope we don't create. So I think that this is a doable job. I think long-term it would actually not cost all that much money when you look at the savings that we would encounter. I think it's doable, but it's up to you, the voters, to be heard. Folks, democracy is not a spectator sport. I'm counting on you to be heard. There's 300 million Americans. Let's be heard.
Michael Cutler, I'd like to thank you for being on Mark Dankoff's America. You can find Michael's piece entitled Guest Worker Amnesty Program, Worst Thing for America, at newswithviews.com/Cutler/Michael.htm. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. See you tomorrow morning at 0700 Air Force Time and Central Time. God bless you.